a very special interview, which I've been waiting all week to share with you. And I want to start like this, by telling you about another statistic, one that I hear from time to time repeated, which is quite relevant to the particular job I do. It's the stat that tells us that on average, a woman speaks 20,000 words per day, a man only 7,000. So my own average, I have to admit, is probably 40,000, if not more, thanks to the nature of my job and I guess to my personality as well. But the reason I cite these statistics and share them with you is that I had a very humbling experience recently conducting my first interview with a guest who cannot speak at all, not in his own voice anyway. His name is Martin Pistorius, and he lost his voice along with his ability to walk, to sit up, to reach out and touch somebody, even to breathe on his own, when a strange illness struck him down as a preteen. And as his health deteriorated very rapidly and still inexplicably, all of his daily functions and abilities were stripped from him. All that was left was the shell of the boy that was. He was in a permanent, completely vegetative state. Or so his family and doctors thought. Because the reality is that after a couple of years, Martin began to regain some of his cognitive abilities. And he faced then the unspeakable reality of being locked in. He was aware of what was going on around him. He could hear what people were saying. He was conscious of the conversations people were having near him. He could formulate thoughts and emotions. He was awake, but he had no way of letting anybody know it. Now, the story of his eventual recovery is an extraordinary one. He's written about it in his book called Ghost Boy, which was published a couple of years ago. And today, Martin lives in the UK, where he has a very full and independent life. He is married to social worker Joanna. He works as a freelance web developer. And he is also a very excited father-to-be. His first baby is due somewhere near the end of November this year. This is the part where I would normally say I sat down to have a chat with him. But of course, I couldn't have a chat with a man who cannot speak. In order for us to conduct this interview, this is what I had to do. I sent him my questions by email. He then composed his answers and fed those into a computer program which voiced them for him and then sent those back to me as audio files. And we have put that all together in a typical interview format. But of course, one of the voices you are going to hear is going to be the voice of a computer. So it's going to sound a little bit different from the norm, but I hope you are going to find it every bit as inspiring and thought-provoking as I did. Martin, you were only 12 years old when you first fell ill with a mysterious condition. To this day, do you know what it was and how you picked up whatever it was?
Apart from testing positive for tuberculosis of the brain and cryptococcal meningitis, there has been no conclusive diagnosis. To be honest, the mystery behind my illness doesn't bother me at all. I am who I am and I'm okay with that. I don't dwell on the past or even really think about it. I live and enjoy life as much and as best I can.
How fast did your health deteriorate? Can you describe for us what you went through as you gradually lost control over your body?
It is a really long story which I describe in detail in my book, Ghost Boy. In short, I came home from school one day not feeling well. At first the doctors thought I had flu and prescribed the usual treatment. But my condition steadily got worse and I was hospitalized. My body weakened and I lost the ability to speak and control my movements. Within months I slipped away, becoming trapped inside my body.
Now eventually your family was told you were in a vegetative state, that you were completely unaware of what was going on around you, and should just be taken home and made as comfortable as possible until you died. But that wasn't the case. You did have awareness. You just couldn't show it. I can't even begin to imagine how torturous that must have been for you. Can you try and describe for us what you went through and how you felt lying there all those years unable to communicate?
I often say it was like being a ghost, which is why the title of my book is Ghost Boy. You can hear, see and understand everything around you, but you have absolutely no power over anything. For me, that feeling of complete and utter powerlessness is probably the worst feeling I have ever experienced, and I hope I never have to experience again. It is like you don't exist. Every single thing in your life is decided by someone else. Everything, from what you wear, to what you eat and drink, even if you eat or drink, to where you will be tomorrow, or next week, and there is nothing you can do about it. Of course, as the reality dawned on me that not only was I trapped in my body, but that I was probably going to spend the rest of my life in this state was something I really struggled with.
The toll it took on your family must have been incredibly difficult. Were you aware of that too as you lay there?
Yes, my entire family was deeply affected by what happened to me. My mother in particular really struggled to come to terms with it. I feel sad when I think back and remember all the feelings and upset that everyone was experiencing.
Now, it was an aromatherapist who started working with you who first recognized that you might not be completely unaware. That was a real turning point for you, wasn't it? Can you describe for us what happened next?
Absolutely. I talk about this in my book, but Verna was the catalyst who changed everything. She treated and spoke to me differently. Verna would talk to me as if I understood, almost expecting a response. When she eventually picked up on the subtle signs that I understood what she was saying and began to see me, it was amazing, really exciting. It gave me something else to focus on and think about. I think being seen and having another person validate your existence is incredibly important. In a sense, it makes you feel like you matter. She then happened to see a program about augmentative and alternative communication on TV and realized it could possibly help me. She spoke to my parents about taking me to be assessed. In July 2001, I was taken for an assessment at the Center for AAC at the University of Pretoria, where I was able to demonstrate that I had the potential to communicate.
As you went through rehab to relearn so many basic physical skills, you also faced the emotional challenge, having to learn to be an independent young man with his own life and his own choices. How difficult was it for you to adapt to that new independence? And what were your biggest milestones?
It was extremely difficult. There was so much I simply did not know. There were moments, for example, going to the shop that I was completely overwhelmed by. Emerging back into the world was really hard, scary at times, but absolutely exhilarating and wonderful at the same time. There have been so many milestones that it's hard to say really. I suppose some of the major ones are being able to communicate, able to move independently, getting a job, getting married, studying, learning to drive.
Martin, your power of speech has not returned. Can you sketch for us how this impacts on your ability to navigate the world?
For me, it is as if not being able to speak is a far greater disability than being in a wheelchair. While using a computer voice is fantastic, it is not without its challenges. It is much slower than normal speech, and people don't always want to wait for you to say something. It can sometimes be frustrating, and it can be challenging to convey emotion because I always sound the same. Over the years, I have learned to cope with it, and I really appreciate the fact that I can now communicate.
I know your wife, Joanna, has had a massive influence on your approach to life and the way you interact with society and assert yourself and your needs. How would you say she has changed you?
My Joanna is an exceptionally special woman and makes me want to be the best man I can be. She is always there supporting me and encouraging me to see the opportunities and not the barriers. She is beautiful inside and out, and I love her with all my heart.
Now, I know you were hoping to start a family and then doctors told you it was unlikely to happen. Had you managed to make your peace with that? And if so, how did you feel when you found out they were actually wrong?
Having tried for years, we had worked through all the emotions and we were really happy with it being just the two of us. In fact, in December, Joanna gave away all the baby-related things we had. When we found out that Joanna was pregnant, we were both very surprised, a little shocked too, but very excited.
How are you preparing for fatherhood? Do you have any particular fears and concerns, particularly around your ability to communicate with your child? How are you preparing for that challenge?
Of course, there are things that I worry about, but I feel the baby is such a blessing that everything will work out. At the moment, I think the most difficult thing about fatherhood for me will be finding effective ways to communicate with the baby. But we are already looking into things like baby sign language, and I read stories to baby so that the baby will know my voice.
Your story is not just one of triumphing over adversity, Martin. It's a real lesson in the very nature of communication. What is the message you'd like to share with our listeners today about what it means to truly communicate?
I think it is easy to take communicating for granted and what a massive impact its loss has. Everyone says actions are more powerful than words. But I wonder, communication is one of our most powerful tools. And is it not our words that lead to action? I think too, that there is always hope, no matter how small. And also to treat everyone with kindness, dignity, compassion and respect, whether you think they understand or not. To never underestimate the power of the mind, the importance of love and faith, and to never stop dreaming.
How about that, eh? As Penny says on the WhatsApp line, shop about the courage of this man. I can't wait to read his book and delve more deeply into his story, but just that 8-minute insight into the power of his mind is, I think, remarkable. I wasn't quite sure what to expect from having to do an interview that way. And I was really worried about whether a computerized voice would be able to convey. I didn't know how much it would be able to convey without having, you know, tone and stress and inflection. But boy, conveyed he did. The book is called Ghost Boy. If you'd like to read it, there are still plenty of copies available online. Hard copies and ebooks are selling on Take a Lot. The Exclusive Books website had some when I checked earlier this week as well. You can also visit his website, martinpistorius.com, if you'd like to read up more about his story. And if you'd like to reflect on what you've just heard, maybe you are one of the listeners who is in the same position as Martin for different reasons, perhaps. I know we've got, I'm aware of at least two of our existing audience who are not able to speak either at all or not able to speak particularly clearly as a result of medical conditions. And maybe you'd like to share with us how that impacts on your navigation of the world and reflect on that message in Martin's story. You're welcome to drop me an email or an SMS or a WhatsApp, of course, instead of phoning.